quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome, you're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. Mike McDowell is off on assignment today. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question, and I'm not even going to tell you how hard or easy they are, except for one hard one and a couple of easy ones. Okay. When we get back, I do want to, even though the UCLA did beat South Carolina, I do want to ask what happened with the UConn coach versus South Carolina with the confrontation, and will that affect his legacy? Because he kind of confronted the coach of South Carolina. I don't even know what that was all about, except for hearing something regarding he was upset because he kept yelling at the refs. Of course, most coaches do that, so whatever. We also, when we get back, talk about Luka Doncic and the hamstring injury and the fact that he's going to miss the 65-game minimum for awards and, you know, should that be changed? Talk a little bit about Tiger Woods, talk about flag football in the Olympics. That'll be kind of fun. And then talk a little bit about the ABS, the automatic ball strike system. Is it finally something that's come around? And I don't think it's really added too much extra time to the game. Has it, Russell?
Be nicknamed the Angel Hernandez ABS.
That guy was so bad. So bad.
He is the reason why it's there. They should name it after him. They should name it after him so that he can remember for all time that because of his inability to call a consistent strike zone, that we had to put a computer in charge.
Yeah, he really devastated our Giants teams, about 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, he's a complete and utter doughhead, and I am, you know, progress happens, and the ABS is here to stay.
And I'm not accusing Angel Hernandez of being on the take, but boy, I tell you, when you look at some of those balls and strikes, you go, really? Okay. Anyway, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
There are rivers that people visit And then there are rivers that change them. For over 40 years, Tributary Whitewater has guided adventurers on the West's most iconic waters. The journey spans from the deepest river canyon in North America via Hell's Canyon on the Snake River to the legendary wild and scenic stretches of the Rogue River in Southwest Oregon. Bring the family and explore a 3-day, 2-night easy rafting trip on the new Lower Klamath or half-day to 2-day trips on California Classic Whitewater on the American River. Or experience the rivers in the Sierra Nevada, including the Truckee River and the springtime East Fork Carson River, both just outside of Lake Tahoe. With expert guides and all-inclusive overnight experiences on the river, Tributary serves as a premier gateway to the great outdoors. From Oregon and Idaho to the heart of California, Tributary Whitewater provides everything you need for an experience of a lifetime. Reservations for the 2026 season are available at whitewatertours.com. Tributary Whitewater, incredible river experiences.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcovein.com for reservations. That's elkcovein.com.
Well, welcome to Sports. Welcome back. Excuse me, to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman. Again, Mike McDowell is off today. Okay, first I want to bring up the women's.
I'm under witness protection.
The NCAA women's semifinal, which was UConn versus South Carolina, and UConn, they had a long streak going, and then they just lost lost to South Carolina. But the question I have is, the coach for UConn confronted the South Carolina coach like after the game. They were shaking hands, and he had some issue, and she had an issue back with him. And I think it had something to do with him or her yelling at the refs the whole time. And I don't know if you thought maybe they were favoring her because of that. I don't know. But my question is, how is that going to affect his legacy? You know, I mean, he could get fired for something silly like that, couldn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't get fired. It'll blow over. I do think that it's kind of a thing. I mean, he didn't hit her. Mm. And, it was one of those things that became a physical confrontation. So just yelling back and forth and probably a fine will come out of this, and then everyone else just move on. I mean, it didn't have any effect on the game itself. It didn't have any effect on the outcome. It's probably mean that when South Carolina plays up against UConn again, there'll be some interesting, bad blood between them. But overall, I think it's kind of a tempest in a teacup. I don't think it's that horrible. In fact, I don't even think it made really big news. I mean, like it or not, it's the men's Final Four and the NCAA that everybody pays attention to. The women's stuff is like the NIT stuff. It kind of goes on in the background, But it's interesting because when my dad was a kid, he was telling me that the NIT was the big tournament. And the NCAA was kind of seen as like the also-ran,
And in fact, I think my dad told me that it was like New York City College that won both. They were like the only one that ever won both.
Yes. That's when New York ran the world, though. So I guess it's not crazy to think that, a New York team would have won the NIT and the NCAA because they had, New York had like 20 schools that were involved in all that stuff. But
it's the same team, though, I think.
Yeah.
And so now, do you even have that where they have the same?
No, you can't be in both the NIT now and the NCAA. And, the NCAA is, teams, basically college teams live their entire season for the NCAA tournament. You know, they're playing everything towards it. And you get in the NIT, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and go, well, it was nice. You know, it's you're playing for, what you're really playing for is the number 67 spot in the nation, you know, because now they've even expanded the 64 to 65. And don't they even have like a 66 theme or something like that in it? I mean, they have like these little like pre, like the game, the NCAA tournament before the NCAA tournament to get the last couple seeds in there.
I don't remember, probably. And in fact, just for the audience's sake, we are recording the show on the Monday. And I think tonight is the final game.
Half an hour before the NCAA tournament game.
What's your prediction? You're a Michigan fan, right?
Yes, and you scoffed at me.
I think Mike did. I didn't scoff at you. I just said UConn's going to win it.
You first asked me if I meant Michigan State.
Yeah, no.
So, and I said, no, Michigan. And you scoffed at me. And dared to doubt.
Why? You lie, my friend. I am not a scoffer.
Doubt the greatness of my prognostication skills. Even though I picked the wrong Super Bowl winner. Well, no, I picked Seattle to win, but I picked, you know, in baseball, and I picked the Dodgers to win last year. But, you know, like 2 years ago, I thought the 49ers were going to go to the Super Bowl when McCaffrey got hurt, you know, and they were my prognostication skills aren't 100%, but I really have felt, I said last week that, you know, Michigan has been chewing teams up and spitting them out like they're watermelon seeds. I mean, really, they took Arizona and made Arizona look what, pedestrian. And Arizona's not a pedestrian team, but they beat them by like 19 points.
Yeah, and they have you know, a couple of big trees there. But it's interesting that Elliott Cadeau, he played for North Carolina, UNC, I believe, last year. And then he hated himself, let's say, over to Michigan. And he's one of those hot, cold streak guys. It kind of reminds me of someone like Jared Jack. Remember him?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And so if he
he made the world's worst NBA decision, I think, in the history of the NBA. Jared Jack was a starting guard for the Warriors at the time that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were, you know, working their way up. Yeah. And he put his foot down and demanded that he be the starter over Klay Thompson or Steph Curry, and that he would not in any way come off the bench. And the Warriors said, say hello to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And to New Orleans he went. And his career completely got destroyed.
They have to leave their ego at the door.
Absolutely. If he
they didn't know how good Steph Curry was going to be, but you never know.
And been willing to come off the bench, great as a backup point guard and a backup shooting guard, because he had great shooting skills. I mean, he was good at shooting threes, kind of like Klay. He wasn't the defender that Klay is. But he also could handle the ball and be a good point guard. And he would be great with Steph when Klay had to sit down. He would have been great with Klay if Steph had to sit down. But he wouldn't do that. He said, I have to be the starter. I have to take one of their jobs. And instead, no, they took your job. And they're both Hall of Famers. And Jared Jack is a complete footnote in the NBA as to,
championship ring.
No championships. He would have gotten probably a couple rings. And guess who parked his ego at the door and did get four rings as a part of it? Or three rings.
Sean.
No, Andre Iguodala.
Iguodala.
He was the guy that was willing to not be a starter. And he was willing to come off the bench. And it's arguable that he might be one of the greatest six men of all time.
Well, he was getting a little bit toward the end of his career when he came to the board. But still, did great.
He got an MVP in the finals by playing defense on LeBron.
Exactly.
And no, you know, that's something, again, those could have been accolades that would have been up for Jarrett Jack, but he didn't want it. He wanted to be a big fish in a small pond, or he wanted to make his pond smaller and him being the star fish of it. And now he's part of your little trivia question as to, do you ever remember what happened to Jarrett Jack?
That's what I love about Andre is you can tell he's very intelligent. You know, when you listen to him talk, and you can tell he'll probably be a coach.
I love that, Iguodala. I think he would be fabulous, you know, as a coach, because he really understood the floor. He knew how to play four out of he played everything but center. I mean, he was able to play every position but center. He could handle the ball. He could shoot the ball. He played defense. He was, for his size, he was a great rebounder. And he just was in, and I'll tell you, until he retired, I think he was the best dunker that the Warriors had.
Yeah, you could definitely argue that one for sure. Okay, anyway, let's go to our first trivia question here. This one is, to me, it's kind of hard. In what country would you find the city of Timbuktu? So there actually is a real city called Timbuktu. You know, we all kind of joke around here.
Too. It's in the continent of Africa, but now I have to figure out where.
Ah, okay, so Timbuktu, and it's sounds like something out of Lion King, but it's not. All right, in what country will you find the city of Timbuktu? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. All right, trivia question number one. In what country would you find the city of Timbuktu?
I'm going to say Nigeria.
No, Mali, M-A-L-I.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not thinking Morocco, so neither one was right.
It starts with
in Africa, but, you know, it used to be a major trade city. You know, for thousands of years, and then a huge drought happened, and everybody took off, and it's now, you know, an abandoned historical site.
Yeah, good point. Okay, moving on, let's stay with basketball. Luka Doncic, hamstring injury, may miss the 65-game minimum for awards. Should that be changed? I mean, he missed two games due to the birth of his daughter. And so, you know.
Well, first of all, I think there's a huge lesson about Doncic for all teams. And my friend who watches a lot of NBA with me, we were talking about it last night. You're in that difficult spot where on the one hand, you want players to be hot and have their game in tune for the playoffs. Yeah. But on the other hand, having them get hurt in a meaningless game that doesn't do anything for your standings is a nightmare. And whether or not Luka gets any awards, the fact that he's not going to be able to play for the next 35 days basically takes him out of the Lakers postseason. The Lakers are going to have to make it into deep second or maybe early third round to get him back.
Yeah. He's going to be in.
Yeah, I mean, now LeBron has to do it basically all himself because Austin Reeves is also hurt. I don't know if you know that. So, first of all, I don't smirk or have any problems because, look, if the Lakers are having problems winning anything, boo-hoo. Yeah, Los Angeles has had enough. They can go and chew on their Dodgers championship for a while, you know, and the Rams are doing well. Yeah, and even the Clippers are in the playoffs. So, you know what? If the Lakers have problems in an early elimination in the first round, which I think is going to happen, because they're going to have to face a team like maybe Phoenix or possibly... Houston might be in the cards for them. There's a couple of games that juggle out, but it's going to be a hard... Whoever you get in the West... in the first round is not going to be easy. I mean, it's going to be the Clippers.
LeBron is almost 42.
He was not looking to be, you know, it's ironic because a lot of people would say, you know, LeBron's a ball hog. LeBron's all about himself and all this other stuff. And, you know, finally this year, he looked like he really was adjusting to being a support player and getting Reeves the ball and getting Doncic the ball and getting Vanderbilt the ball, and getting Hachimura the ball, and, you know, really distributing stuff a lot more and not being so, you know, me-centered. I got to shoot. The ball has to go through me, all this stuff. Now all those guys are hurt, and now he does have to take over and do all of this stuff. And I'm not sure.
He's kind of been doing it, too.
I think when you get into the playoffs, I think the 42 years that he is of age is going to start showing up. I mean, you don't get much time off between games. You have to do a lot of quick traveling between cities. And he's got a lot of mileage.
Yeah, that to me is the big thing is all that traveling. You know, I don't know how these guys do it.
He's played more games than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he pulled ahead of him in scoring. Yeah. So it shows that, I mean, he really has played a crazy number of games in his career. Yeah. And, you know.
Well, he started when he was 18. So he's been playing for years.
I mean, look at Moses Moody, for example, you know, and how he tore his patella just going up for a dunk. Yeah. You know, and that sort of thing can happen to you anytime. But when now you're, you know, 42, you're really rolling the dice. and seeing what's going to happen. But it's a weird thing. Like, do you sit everybody and rest guys now and worry about whether they're going to get hurt? And B, you know, will they miss that 65-game, you know, thing? Which, as you say, well, it's just an award. But, hey, for a lot of these guys, they get a lot of money if they get those awards. So there's that incentive to play. And then the third thing is that, you know, if you have tickets down the stretch for some of these games, what are you going to be watching?
Exactly. Didn't Popovich get fined because he sat his players last year?
But that was, that was earlier in the season. You know, the big question is, does the league stand up and say, you're trying to tank in these last four games, you know, last five games?
Well, the thing is, if you're down in the standings, you know, maybe so you can get more balls in the hopper.
Sure. But there's a lot of talk about, you know, trying to prevent that.
But LA's already in the playoffs, though.
How do you prove a team is tanking? You know, how do you, you know, especially when it's a team like the Kings that just have injuries everywhere. Every single player is hurt on that team.
Tanking.
What?
They always seem to be tanking.
No, they're not. Weirdly enough, they've won some games down the stretch, and now they have 21 wins, and they're more looking like they're going to wind up getting the fifth, sixth, or seventh pick rather than, the one, two, or three.
Right? They haven't been good since Lottie Bebox played for them.
No, they had the Beam team a couple of years ago. They won 60 games.
Darren Fox, he was playing.
Yeah, they won. And when it was, you know, an early part in the career of Sabonis, and, you know, they Harrison Barnes on the team. They won, and Keegan Murray was playing really well, but everybody is running into a buzzsaw, and they are looking like a MASH unit right now. In fact, I joked that, like, what did they do? Like, prescribe to the same health plan as the 49ers had for this last season? You know, whatever the health plan the 49ers had that got them injured up and down the roster just transferred right on over to the Sacramento Kings.
There you go. Let's move on for a minute here. A little golf. So Tiger Woods goes, you know, he gets in a car crash. And, you know, this is his, like, second or third one, at least?
Third. Because he had another one I was trying to remember about when he drove off the road, too, you know, when he was taking pills or something.
There was this one. And what was the other one? I mean, besides his wife putting a golf club.
He fell asleep while he was driving.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought he slid off the road. He didn't hit anybody, but he slid off the road.
He slid off the road. Okay. For some reason, I thought he was parked. Okay. So at this point, shouldn't he lose his license? I mean, he can afford to pay a driver.
That's a big question. When you have the hundreds of millions bring the party to you. You know, he's got a mansion, you know. Open up your own bar in your own house if you really, you know.
It wasn't so much drinking, it was the prescription drugs, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's true. And he obviously has a problem with them, and it's but again, when you're that rich, why you can't stay home and bring the party to you, or why you can't, you know.
Many, many years ago when I was doing tax returns for some municipal bond brokers, there was the one head guy, and this guy had a big drinking problem, and he ended up, I don't think he lost his license, but what ended up happening was his insurance went up so much.
Sure.
It was cheaper for him to hire a tax back then. They didn't have Ubers.
Sure.
It was cheaper for him to just hire a taxi to take him everywhere.
Tiger Woods is so rich. He could have people give him piggyback rides from one person. He just have, like, people stationed, like, 50 feet away from each other and, like, switch off and give him a piggyback ride from one person to the other, have him switch.
15 hours to get to, a mile, but that's okay. You know?
He wouldn't get a DUI, though, you know. Well, that would look ridiculous.
It's not like, you know, someone who, let's say, again, I'm just going by, like, what the news reports, right? It's not like he is on meth and he just can't get off of meth. It's
pills can be just as bad.
And it's like, okay, listen, I get it. You're in pain. You got to take this medication.
Oxy is just as bad as heroin.
Yeah, but I guess when I'm
it makes you that hooked. It makes you that hooked to it.
But
and I can talk about personal experience.
I don't know enough about it, but it's like, are you clear thinking from the standpoint of, okay, I know I can't drive, you know, because at least, you know, I'm sure most of us have at least had a drink or two too much where we go, you know what? I mean, I had that happen to me many years ago where I just said, you know what? I know I can't drive. And so I literally had to call my wife to come pick me up. And then,
he needs to hire someone to stand next to him and say, you know, hey, you know, Tiger, you're really one, two sheets to the wind. But, you know, you look at his mugshot. Doesn't his mugshot just, I mean, it makes you kind of sad because you think of like the energetic young kid that was so enthusiastic about the sport and had nothing but the future ahead of him. And you figured because of golf, he would have been able to play till he was like, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old, you know.
I tell you what, let's go to our next trivia question here. Okay. How many colors are there in a standard rainbow? And we'll see. First of all, you got to guess how many, and then let's see if you can name them. All right? That's our trivia question. Audience, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Hop in a John Deere Gator XUV for a day's work. Let's see what's on the to-do list. There goes the tree. And the fence.
Shelter out!
Not a problem. Because you've got a cargo box filled with solutions. Up to 4,000 pounds of towing capacity. And you're ready to roll.
The power's out!
Here we go again. The Gator XUV. Built for every kind of workday. Learn more at johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Nothing runs like a deer.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids. Located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Got stuff you don't need? Turn it into cold hard cash with Cha-Ching Company. Whether it's your house, your car, or even gold collecting dust, we buy it for cash fast. No hassles. No long waits. Get a free cash offer in just 24 hours and walk away with money in your pocket. That's Cha-Ching Company, your trusted cash buyer for houses, cars, and gold. Visit cashnow2026.com right now and get your offer today.
The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa invites you to experience spring in Tahoe. Whether it's hiking, getting pampered in the spa, or relaxing by the lake, the Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa is the perfect destination, as it is close to many restaurants, Heavenly Village, and nature areas to explore. Every room has a spectacular Lake Tahoe view. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com to reserve your room with a view.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman. Our second trivia question: how many colors are there in a standard rainbow?
8?
No.
16.
No. Come on. You've seen a rainbow. There's not 16 colors.
Well, let's see.
Go on. Well, I'll say it's 7.
7. Okay.
Yeah, let's see if you can name them.
Let's see. Well, there's blue, obviously.
Blue.
Red.
Red.
Yellow.
Yellow.
Green.
Green.
Orange.
Orange. 2 more.
And white.
No. The other two are a little bit harder. Violet and indigo.
Indigo, okay.
Indigo, your favorite color.
Dark part. I do like it, actually.
All right, next trivia question, or next point here. So flag football in the Olympics debuts in 2028 in L.A., which is kind of fun because we're, you know, a football country.
America's curling,
yes. And so apparently RG3, Robert Griffin III, who used to play with the Washington Redskins, yes. And he hasn't played since 2020, apparently he's going to be playing in this. That's pretty cool.
I would, you know, as much as I appreciate him doing that, playing flag football requires you to, like, do a lot of running. I mean, more running than, you know, tackling, obviously, and anything like that. Yep. And you have to be able to, because I played flag football in college.
Yeah, okay.
And it takes surprisingly large amount of dexterity. To, you know, you don't have pads on, so you move faster. And if he plants his leg wrong on the field, you know, he had major, major reconstructive knee surgery.
Yeah.
And it's like, he shouldn't be doing anything athletic on an Olympic level again. I think, you know, leave that up to the young kids. The Olympics should really be up to the young kids, you know? It's one thing I'm not all that thrilled about when they brought pros into the Olympics is that, you know, it raised the age level of a lot of these athletes to be in their 30s, you know, 20s and 30s. When one of the great things about the Olympics is seeing teenagers and 20-year-olds, like, having their first big, like, you know, experience.
Well, you definitely have that in women's gymnastics. You have the young ones.
But you look at, like, the ski stuff, you know, the skiing stuff has a lot of kids. I always think, oh, that makes me sound so old, but I am old. So, you know, I qualify for that. I'll be 60 in a couple of years. So, you know, it's especially, like, looking at the NCAA games, and those are really like kids now. It used to be they were adults to me when I was younger, and now I look at them and I go like, oh my god, my kids are almost the same age as the kids that are there playing in the NCAA tournament.
What about me? My kid is
older,
like 10 years past college.
Yeah, well, you are really old. That's how we define that. I'm old, but you're really old.
I'm really old. Hey, you know what? I think I told you this before. When I was in high school, history was only 15 minutes long. Because it wasn't.
That's a good guess.
You're like, come on, I made that one up.
That's good. That you see, maybe you should do more of that than some of your old Dixie Cup ones that you get. Do you remember that Dixie Cups used to have the riddles?
Oh, yeah. On them?
They were just the corniest.
But, wait, riddles. Russell, you are old. Because Dixie Cups.
But it's not like you didn't know what I was talking about. So there you go.
In fact, basketball, it was hard to play basketball because it was a square ball. They hadn't invented round yet.
Like yes, and it was all rocks, and yeah, you had to climb a dinosaur to be able to get the basket out of the ball out of the peach basket. Yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on to a little baseball. So what do you think about the ABS, automatic ball strike system?
Angel Hernandez Memorial ABS system. That, again, they needed to name it after him. You know, I mean, it's he. But I always disliked the fact that strike zones were malleable and that umpires could have big strike zones and small strike zones. I just didn't like that. It's, there's no other game that's like that.
For like oh, that umpire, you know, is that because they during the day.
There's no other rule in professional sports that works that way, where somebody's raw subjectivity controls so much of whether a game works.
You know, pass interference and, you know,
there's still strict rules on it. It doesn't say pass interference is called when a referee, in his own personal opinion, feels that there's pass interference. I mean, granted, they call it wrong a lot of times, but there's still a rule in place that says...
They say, you know, theoretically it's the shoulder or the, you know, the below the shoulders to the knees. And I always think that they hardly ever call the high strike zone, you know, unless you have a specific umpire.
They are now because they know that the ABS is going to light them up and make them look like fools in front of the rest of the world.
Because we've always said about this, get the call right. I mean, we were in the show before they even had instant replay, and there was debate about that. And I said, it's just really important to get the call right. And
ABS is quick. You know what I really liked about ABS? They can give you the result in 2 seconds.
Yeah. So it doesn't
sit there and wander around and like pass interference or you know, when they were reviewing pass interference and it would take 25 minutes. And even though everyone in the whole stadium saw the pass interference, the refs would still turn around and go, oh, nope, there was none. You know,
they even did, again, your favorite Angel Hernandez. They called he didn't call a home run when it was easily a home run.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, even with the instant replay, he still got it wrong.
Right. No, that's why it's really, I mean, baseball has such precision, and I think that it's batting will improve and pitching will improve when guys know there's a certain level of consistency that they don't have to, that they just need to know that they have to get it within the shoulder to the knee. You know, and that there isn't going to be this shrinking and raising of the strike zone, you know, depending on, and a lot of times, you know, people say, well, if this ump is having a good day, his strike zone is wide. And if he's having a bad day, it gets smaller. And it's like, why? There's no other thing that's like that, you know, where an NFL rep will say, I'm going to let you have, because I, you know, my toast was burned, you know, on the way into work, you know, I'm going to call as pass interference, or I'm not going to call any contact as pass interference.
Well, in fact, wasn't there an NBA ref, and I don't remember which one, who had an issue with Tim Duncan. And he was and Tim seemed like, you know, a guy who didn't really argue.
Yeah, he would call him like instant technicals on him.
Yeah.
And well, that was a glaring thing. I think he got punished for it and then eventually, I think, fired because of that. So, I mean, you can't take stuff out and use your own personal, like, thoughts, because umpires represent the rules. They don't represent themselves.
You know what will also be good for this part of it is gambling, because not just so much gambling, but umpires on the take, if there are any, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really reduces
if they call
it's
right?
Possible that you could throw somebody out for an infraction that's minor. You could still, you know, safes and outs and stuff like that, but it's getting harder because of replay and because of that. But you know what? That keeps umpires honest. That makes umpires have to start, you know, really looking at what they do, and they don't want to be shown up on national television as being a crappy ump. So I love it. I'm all for ABS. I'm totally used to the pitch clock now. You know, I thought that would be a problem, but it's not. Yeah. You know, I think it's helped.
Because also you get now you know the pitchers are so aware of it. Your heart.
They got their timing back, and you don't see batters adjusting their gloves after every single pitch was so obnoxious and such a waste of time.
Yeah, should have taken two and a half hours.
Yeah. No, I don't miss any of those things. I don't miss pitchers throwing back to first base 14 times. You know, I don't miss.
In fact, I remember, I don't remember which game it was, but it was like 15 or 16 times in a row.
Yeah.
And it was doing, and I mean, that's just ridiculous. But
those things don't make baseball any better or more fun to watch. So I don't, those elements of baseball are gone, and I don't care if they ever come back. That's fine.
I mean, the thing that's cool about the throwing over to first base now is you give a little bit of an advantage to the runner because he knows you can't throw again.
Which is good because stealing had pretty much died, you know, as a concept. I mean, I think that one of the most unassailable records might be Ricky Henderson's stolen base record. I mean, it's going to take somebody who's, you know, 5 years old right now to start stealing bases until he's 40 to be able to catch up to where Ricky Henderson is. It's such a rare thing to see even one or two stolen bases in a game, and Ricky Henderson would do it one or two stolen bases in an inning.
Yeah. I wonder why is it just because chicks dig the long ball and everyone's looking for the long ball?
No, I think that it's because stealing can be very dangerous. I mean, sliding in to second base and all of that can be a real like combat situation, you know?
Yeah,
and they've been on that too.
Nobody used to like to, except for Pete Rose going head first, but now they have these special gloves, you know, the mittens that they put on.
But there'd be collisions and there would be other, you know, you can pull your hamstring by trying to run so fast, you know, between bases and so forth. It really got out of vogue, and small ball really doesn't matter if you are hitting home runs. You know, you might as well stay on first base. If someone's going to hit a home run, who cares? You know, if you were on first or second.
Yeah. But I still like the steal. You know?
I do too.
As a fan, it's different. But, you know, can you imagine going to a game and it only lasts an hour and 45 minutes and you go, and I paid $200 for this such a short time? Come on, stretch it out to 3 hours for me, Brandon.
I mean, it's kind of like with movies. Like, you know, I'm okay with a movie being 2 hours long. You know, if it's a nice, entertaining movie, I don't need it to be 2.5 hours long and then look at my watch at the last half hour going, geez, you know what? They could have wrapped this movie up half an hour ago. I don't always think more is better. I think sometimes you can get something that is just the right amount of time and be entertained by it. I don't need 4 hours of entertainment to be entertained if 2 hours would have given me the whole story, you know? Yeah. That's one of my big gripes about modern movies.
They have to make movies at least 90 minutes long in order to get a whole story in.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't always. I've seen, you know, made-for-TV movies that are an hour long that are fine, that say everything that needs to be said.
Well, yeah, but if you get rid of all the fluff.
Exactly. Right? That's the problem, is that nobody wants to get rid of the fluff. I don't know if you saw that Batman movie that came out a couple of years ago. You know, just the Batman. And it was nearly 3 hours long. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
That's too long.
I've had enough and just turned it off. I've never been back.
Let's go to our last trivia question here. What Italian city is considered one of the fashion capitals of the world? All right. That's our trivia question. Stay with us.
Fashion.
F-A.
You know me in fashion. I'm one of the great fashion.
You're a fashionista. All right, fashionista, okay, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back with some closing comments.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. Hopefully next week, Mike will be off on or be back from assignment. Okay, question number three. What Italian city is considered one of the fashion capitals of the world?
I'm going to say Milan.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I got one of them.
You are a fashionista. Oh, fashionista. All right. Yep. All right. Any last words before we go into our thoughts for the day, which I know you're still okay. But why don't you give me a final score of the Michigan UConn game tonight?
Oh, good. I'm going to say Michigan is going to win 110-104.
You think it's going to be that high scoring? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to say 88-85 UConn.
Ooh, okay. So you're talking about UConn. No, nobody wants to take Michigan. I guess
I know my daughter-in-law is rooting for Michigan because that's where she went to school. Okay,
you ready? Nobody wants the Chris Webber curse to be good.
Okay, here's our thoughts for the day. So the trouble with having an open mind, of course, is that people will insist on coming along and trying to put things in it. Isn't that true? And Mark Twain said, age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind,
it doesn't matter.
Right?
That's as old as Mark Twain is.
And yeah, exactly. Well, he said it, so he knows what he's talking about. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
So long.